Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. So good to see all of y'all this morning. A couple quick announcements today. First, we have the Easter Journey. It's a week from today in the evening, and I have, I think, all of my volunteers, so yay! But we still have about 30 or 40 spots for people to travel through. So if you could please share the word, spread the news, I would love to get all those spots filled. We can do up to 105 people, so we have about 60 signed up right now. But we would love for everyone to experience this because it's an amazing journey just to think about what Jesus went through that last week of his life. So, and there's free food at the end, which is always enticing, so be sure to tell them that. Next, we have the Living Last Supper. Put that on your calendar. It's an amazing experience to come watch these men that tell the story of what the Living Last Supper was like and what they were thinking. And it really, you know, sets your heart before Easter. So be sure to come to that. And then next, we have the crosswalk. We carry... It's a heavy cross from Central to the Southwest campus. We started at 6 a.m. I don't think it says that on there. Yeah, it does. Real tiny. We start at 6 a.m. here at the Central campus and take off walking and go all the way to Southwest. And it's just an amazing experience. Andy stops us along the way and, you know, he has different people read scripture and we pray. And you don't have to do the whole thing. And we've had people just go a block. So if you just want to park and walk a block with us and then walk back to your car, we would love to have you even do that. So put that on your calendar as well. Will you pray with me? God, I just thank you for this time that we get to spend in your presence. Thank you for meeting us here. And thank you for loving us. Just let us feel your presence this morning as we spend time together worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, church. It is really good to see Kylie here today after she broke her arm. Glad to see you here. And where were you at, Arkansas? I would have been in the bed after I broke my arm like that. So glad to see you here this morning. Anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the honor for all that you're doing in our lives every day, even in the times we can't see it or understand your ways. Thank you for your love in our lives. With you, Father, we experience a love that has no measure. Please help us to truly live out a life of love. We pray that this love make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. As we come to you today, we also ask for your guidance. We need your wisdom to guide us. We need your spirit to lead us, to live out lives so that we bring honor first to you. May all that we do glorify your holy name. May the words we speak be from the heart, and may our actions prove that we are your children. We thank you that you're always with us and give us great purpose and hope. In this morning, church, join me in reciting the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our missions minute today is all of our Easter services. And there's one Holy Saturday, and that's going to be Andy Hurst speaking in an acoustic guitar, so it's going to be more of a laid-back service. So if you're not available on Sunday, we would love for you to come to that one. And then we have a bunch on Sunday. There's a sunrise service at the Southwest campus led by our youth, and then our regular services that day. And I tell you all this because I want you to come, but I tell you all this because I also want you to invite others. We went to a conference or a training, a simulcast training, back at the end of the summer, and one of the ladies that spoke, she talked about epidemic, pandemic, whatever that's going on in our country right now of loneliness. And there are so many people in this world that are so lonely right now. And we don't have to be lonely because we have God and we have our walk with Jesus every day. And we know that we are never alone, but other people don't know that and realize that. And so God needs you to invite them into your family, into this church family, so that they can feel the love of a community. So we were going to have door flyers and business cards for you to hand out. They're coming in soon. So when they get in, we will let you know, or you can pick them up next Sunday. But you don't have to have that to invite people to church. You can do it without it. This morning I talked about Jamar. He invites people to church all the time. And sometimes it's super embarrassing. But sometimes it's really awesome. And just to see the fruit of that is really cool. Like within 30 seconds of meeting someone, he says, "Where do you go to church?" And to hear the conversations that come out of that, a lot of people have a church home and they'll say it and then they'll have this really cool God conversation. But it just takes a step of faith. And it's just your words. It's not very hard. All you have to do is say, "Hey, where do you go to church? Oh, you don't have a church home? I would love for you to come join me here." And to just be that little voice that helps them take the step. Like that, they're so lonely and they don't know how to get out of that loneliness. And so just to be that for that person is just, it's an awesome experience for us, but it's also what God is calling us to do. So will you pray with me? God, I just thank you for St. Luke's and for the community that is here that you have built, God, and that just the encouragement and the love that surrounds this church, God, that the so much that it's done for me and for other people that are around me. And I just, I pray that you help us see, open our eyes to see people around us that are lonely and that we can invite them in for your glory, God. And just put someone on our heart right now, put their name in our mind, someone that we can reach out to for you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sermon this morning is coming to you from Kansas City. I'd hoped to maybe do this at the Chiefs Stadium or in the middle of the Big 12 tournament, but I think it's probably safe doing my technology to just do this at my daughter Haley's kitchen table. So thank you for letting me join you this morning via Zoom. So in our sermon series this Lent, we've been talking about there's something about that name, something about the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is authority and power to make the unclean clean. In the name of Jesus, there is authority and power for Jesus to come to us right in the midst of our brokenness and depravity. In the name of Jesus, there is authority and power in his teaching to give us truth that truly transforms. And in the name of Jesus, there is authority and power to set the captives free. In the name of Jesus, there is authority and power to calm the stormy seas of our lives. And in the name of Jesus, there is authority and power to give life to those who are dead. In Greek, the word for power is dunamis. And dunamis is the ability, the ableness to do something. But exousia, the Greek word for authority, is when someone has the right to do something. When we say Jesus had authority, we mean not just that he had power, but that he had the authorization, the God-given responsibility and mandate to do exactly what the Father desired him to do. God the Father gave Jesus the authority and privilege of acting on his behalf in this world. Jesus had both dunamis and exousia. He had both the power and the authority given to him by the Father. Unlike the Pharisees' authority, the authority of Jesus was not based in just some outward religious show, but rather in his life of loving and serving and seeking his Father in his everyday life and relationships. Jesus didn't just talk the talk, right? He walked the walk. For 10 years, we've been coming to Kansas City. We've come to see Haley. We've come to hang out in the land of the Chiefs. You know, we've come to go to church leadership conferences at Church of the Resurrection. We've come to the Big 12 tournament. And for over 15 years, I've come to this place called IHOP. No, not International House of Pancakes, but International House of Prayer. For 25 years, since 1999, IHOP has led 24/7 nonstop prayer. 24/7 prayer where people have never stopped interceding, seeking, worshiping, and lifting their prayers to God. Their motto echoed back to the 100-year prayer meeting of Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians, who so greatly impacted the life of John Wesley. The Moravian motto in the 1700s and IHOP's motto since 1999 is "Let the fire on the altar of the Lord never go out." That's Leviticus 6:13, by the way. I can't tell you how many hours I've spent meeting with Jesus in their very simple, non-elaborate prayer room. But this last year, IHOP, like so many other 21st century ministers and ministries, has been consumed with scandal because their founder and leader, Mike Bickle, has been accused of numerous immoral, ungodly, and abusive relationships. On Thursday morning, I spent 2 hours in a prayer room that once had hundreds of people that now only has 25 people. Matthew 7 says, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will know them." In Jesus, there was no dichotomy between what he taught and how he lived. His tree, his fruit, were truly beautiful and good. There was absolute alignment in Jesus. He lived out a life of integrity for all to see. The word integrity means undivided. It means whole. A person who has integrity is a person whose life is in balance. A person who has integrity is a person who has congruency and consistency inwardly and outwardly. So today, our focus is on the authority of Jesus to forgive sin. Please stand, please hear, please receive God's word this morning from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. "And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered there, so many that there was no more room, not even at the door. And Jesus was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were thus questioning within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And he rose, and immediately he picked up his bed and he went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and praised God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this before.'" Lord Jesus, this morning, May your authority be the authority in our lives and in our relationships. Come, Lord Jesus. May your word come alive to us. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. I know every spring our Texas schools take part in the one-act play competition. And a one-act play tells a story of one significant event. And so does God's word this morning from Mark chapter 2. Mark gives us a beautiful and impactful one-act play with four major scenes. Scene one, Jesus sees their faith. Jesus sees their faith. Jesus returned to Capernaum, the home base for his ministry in Galilee. And when he does, so many people gathered to him that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Now, I just pray that miracle is happening at St. Luke's this morning, right? Yeah. No room even outside the door. And Jesus preached God's word to them. And in the middle of his teaching, four men came to Jesus, bringing to him a paralyzed man. But since they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, they climbed up on the roof. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through the roof. And then they lowered the man down to Jesus while he was still lying on his mat. Mark 2:5 says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus didn't hear their faith. Jesus didn't read about their faith. Jesus didn't just assume their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Remember how James says it, James chapter 2? "You believe that God is one. Good for you. You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" Faith apart from works is dead. These four men don't have a useless faith or a dead faith, but rather a life-giving and transforming faith. Jesus saw their faith because their faith was willing to know this man in need. Jesus saw their faith because their faith was willing not just to know this man in need, but to love this man in need. Jesus saw their faith because their faith was willing to work and sweat for the sake of another. Jesus saw their faith because their faith was willing to do whatever it took to get their friend in need all the way to Jesus. Could I just state the obvious this morning? Every single one of us need Jesus-seeking friends like that. Could I just state the obvious this morning? Every single one of us need to be a Jesus-seeking friend like that for others. As much as I believe that it's critically and essentially important for you to be here in Christ, be here in this house worshiping Jesus this morning, I also believe that you've got to have authentic Jesus-centered community in your life. We all need to receive it and to be it. If I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus and we belong to each other, who are you this morning, right now? Who are you belonging to, connecting to? Who are your four who will carry you all the way to Jesus? And who are you investing in and loving enough to make sure that they get all the way to Jesus? We started our Lenten season with an invitation to reach just one more for Jesus. And the invitation was to spend just 1 hour with one person each week for 6 weeks. I think I gave that invitation to about 500 people on that Sunday morning. And you know how many people said yes? 20. Oh, man, I hope a lot more of you are doing it than that. But it just spoke to me. We're never going to change the world out there. We're never going to change the world in here either until we really are willing to invest in each other's lives and love each other as Jesus has loved us. Okay, scene two, Jesus forgives. Mark 2:5 says, "And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. Luke says, friend, my friend, your sins are forgiven. Matthew records Jesus' words like this, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Take heart, the Greek word is tharseo. Take heart, my son, take courage, my son. Look up and be of good cheer, my son, for your sins are forgiven. I mean, isn't that good news this morning? That Jesus forgives sin, that Jesus forgives my sin, and Jesus forgives your sin. Here in Kansas City this week, there are tens of thousands of people who come to town to watch basketball. Now, we've talked with people from Utah and Ohio and Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. You know what is really a good thing? A really good thing is in love, and I offer them, I give. Person I just met on the streets of Kansas City. Do I have to forgive anyone that I don't even know? And second, how can I forgive someone if I'm clueless about what sins they've actually committed? But when Jesus sees the broken, paralyzed man in his great need, he does not just see some random person in a crowd. Jesus sees a beautiful, precious Son of God that has been fearfully, wonderfully made, created in the very image of God. Remember Colossians chapter 1? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things, that means you and me. And that means that paralyzed man long ago, all things were created through him and for him. And Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The way John said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things, again, you and me, the paralyzed man in the story, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When Jesus saw this paralyzed man, when Jesus sees us, he sees us as we are. Jesus sees us and he knows us because he created us and he loves us. Jesus sees us and he knows the totality of our need and brokenness. Jesus doesn't just see our surface needs, our outward sickness. He sees the paralysis and hardness and woundedness of our hearts. Jesus doesn't just focus on changing our outsides. He forgives our sins and sets us free on the inside. I don't know where you need Jesus' forgiveness the most this morning. I just know that as surely as Jesus wanted to forgive the man lying on his mat, Jesus wants to forgive you sitting in your pew. Jesus, have mercy on us, for all of us. All of us have sinned against you. Scene 3, Jesus' authority is questioned. Mark chapter 2, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there. Now, Luke tells us that the Pharisees and teachers of the law who were there, they come from every village of Galilee and Judea and even from Jerusalem. They were checking Jesus out big time. Mark says, some of the scribes and Pharisees were standing there and they were questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? These religious leaders may not have had the right heart, but they do have the right question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's a really good question, especially if they're willing to see the answer that Jesus is fixing to give them. But evidently, they're not there to believe in Jesus. They're there to judge Jesus and justify themselves. These religious leaders questioned Jesus' authority because he was challenging their very way of living. I wonder if we too find ourselves questioning Jesus' authority when he asks us to do something that we don't really want to do. I mean, do you question his authority when he tells you to love someone who is different from you? Do you question his authority when he tells you to forgive that person that has so horribly caused you harm? Do you question his authority when he tells you to make disciples, when he tells you to be his witness to others? Do you question his authority when he tells you to stop living as if this earthly life is all that matters? Do you question his authority when he tells you to always seek him first above all other things? And the Pharisees' hypocrisy and their questioning of Jesus' authority, it really bothers me. But is my heart really any different? My brothers and sisters, it's time for us to stop questioning and start obeying. It's time for us to stop justifying ourselves and to start following him. It's time for us to stop going our way and start going his way. Scene 4, God is praised. Finish our story, chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts?" I mean, which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? I mean, it's easier just to say something, not to do something, right? It's easier just to make some kind of a claim. It's a whole other thing to actually prove something, show something. All right, so you see that, what Jesus is saying there. So he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," Jesus said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And the man rose and immediately picked up his bed, and he went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." Jesus had authority to forgive this man's sins and heal this man's disease 2,000 years ago. And guess what? Jesus still has the authority to forgive your sin and heal your disease, no matter what that disease may be, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Come, Jesus, come. You are welcome and you are needed in your church this very morning. You are welcome and you are needed in this place this very morning. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the streets of Capernaum, the authority of Jesus was the critical concern of the day. The word authority is used 44 times in just the four Gospels. Whether or not Jesus had true authority was the issue 2,000 years ago. And today, his authority is still the issue. I'm not really talking about Jesus' authority in our culture, but his authority in our lives. Is Jesus the one who has the right to call the shots in your life? Or is there something else that gets to say who you are and what you do? The people saw the paralyzed man get up and walk out of that house. They were amazed by Jesus. But were they ready to be truly surrendered to Jesus? I think if I did a poll of how many of us have actually seen Jesus do powerful, amazing, truly miraculous things in our lives or somebody else's lives, I think most of us have seen that. But are we too just amazed? Or are we willing to surrender our lives to him? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all fall away, but there's something about that name. The question this morning, is there something about that name? Is there something about His name, Jesus' name, in your life? Is the name of Jesus supreme above every other name, every other thing, every other person in your life? Is there something about that name to you, in you, and for you, and through you? Our closing song this morning is Same God, and it talks about calling on the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, calling on the God of Mary. It talks about calling on the God of David. And this morning, I invite you to come to this altar, pray in your seat, but I invite you to call on that same God, the very same God that forgave and freed, that loved and healed an unnamed paralytic in the city of Capernaum 2,000 years ago. Lord, you moved in power then. Come, move in power now. Lord, you were our healer then, be our healer now. Lord, you were Savior then, be our Savior now. Oh God, my God, we need you. Come, Lord Jesus, meet us this morning. Let us give ourselves, surrender ourselves to your authority. Not what we want, Lord, what you want. Not our way, Jesus, but your way. Come encounter that same God that set that paralytic free. May he set you free. May he forgive you. May he heal you even this very morning.
So as we leave today, help us to be that Jesus-seeking friend. As we leave here, help us to show that love to not only our friends, but as many as we can. Father, as we leave this church now, help us to lead with action and not just words. Be with everyone here today and help us surrender our lives to your son, Jesus, because there is truly something about that name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.